about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. Hey, yo, man, wake up.
Hey, man, you gotta get up, all right? You gotta leave. It's getting late. I mean, it's like, I know y'all, but I don't know y'all, you know? I mean, we cool, but we ain't cool.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
But I'm not going to the ocean, because that's the shark's house, okay? The shark has the right to eat you up when you in his house. When chickens come in my house, guess what? They get ate. When pigs come in my house, they own the plate. So when you go in the shark's house, you're going to get ate up.
Part of the beauty of me is that I'm very rich.
White meat, dark meat, all will be carved tonight.
And now,
pop star Taylor Swift is the latest in a long line of celebrities peddling death.
Our feature presentation.
Whoa, jeez. Hold on a second. Death seems like an exaggeration a little bit.
Seems accurate.
Hey, party people, welcome on in to another Kevin and Bean Show. This time it is a Thursday, and it feels to me like it might be the 3rd of November?
It would.
Sure. Okay. Hey, Allie McKay.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, little Chip.
Hi, Bean.
Allie, were you like Anthony Rizzo, caught on tape last night in a glass case of emotion during that World Series Game 7?
Was that not the best mic pickup ever?
Yes, it was.
Oh, he was like jumping out of his skin.
Yes, he was.
That was amazing. Yeah, I was loving every second of that. I know what it's like being a fan of a team that sucks forever and people beat you down about it, and having parents that hadn't seen World Series, grandparents that hadn't seen World Series. Mm-hmm. It's a very emotional time, and I was really, really happy for Cubs fans.
With everything that you learned as a lifelong Red Sox fan, you knew that there was no point until the final out
that
Cubs fans were allowed to relax and enjoy it.
Oh, no.
Even when they were up by 4 runs, there was no way that it's not over yet.
Well, then you take out Lester and things go to crap. And I was just thinking, oh, my God, this is their epic collapse right now.
Yes.
This is happening.
It felt like that, didn't it?
Yes. And then the rain. And I was like, God hates you, Cubs. Everything. But it was phenomenal. What a great night. And wow, Theo Epstein.
Yeah.
I'm writing him in Tuesday. I don't know about you guys.
I mean, look, with what he accomplished running the Red Sox and now running the Cubs, I wouldn't mind that guy running the country.
Yeah.
You guys want a businessman to run America? Maybe Theo Epstein is the guy who needs to do it.
It's the best.
Right? Did you see him say the F word on one of the post-game interviews?
Of course I did.
Yeah, you wouldn't miss
a
spot from him. If you weren't up, here's, as I was not up, by the way, which we'll talk about in a second, here's how it ended with Joe Buck with the call on Fox.
Here's the 0-1. This is going to be a tough play. Bryant, the Cubs win the World Series! Bryant makes the play! It's over! And the Cubs have finally won it all! 8-7-10!
Now, am I a bad person, Allie, that when the game got tied up, I couldn't have been more excited, and I was already staying up later than usual to watch it. But then when the rain delay came, the rain delay to me is a giant question mark.
Right.
Because I have watched a lot of baseball in my life, mm-hmm. and a lot of times that rain delay is 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's an hour and a half.
Yeah,
sometimes they cancel the game and come back tomorrow.
And they were showing the computer models, and they're like, they've got this little period of time that if they get the game back on, there's a whole storm front coming in after that. So
it was a massive, massive rainstorm.
Yeah.
It looked like it was about 20 minutes out.
Yeah, it didn't look good, for
and
sure.
I saw that, and I had to weigh everything in my mind because I was desperately interested in who won because, like you said, it was a phenomenal series that we've all gotten so wrapped up in.
Sure.
And I really, 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 really wanted to see it. But then I thought, this could be 1 a.m. for all I know. Remember, I'm 2 hours, 2 hours east of you.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, is it worth it or can I just avoid the spoiler, go to sleep, get up extra early and watch the end, which is what I did. So I just found out the Cubs won like an hour ago.
Right.
Did I make the wrong call?
Did you wind up watching it?
Yeah.
No.
Without it being spoiled.
Did you get some sleep?
I got some sleep.
You just took a little break.
I just paused it.
You paused it.
I just paused it.
That's all you did. Yeah, you're 2 hours ahead. I get it.
It was Yeah, it was just – it was the question mark. If they were just coming back to the 10th inning, I would have said, I'm up. I'm staying up. I'm not going to miss this. You know what I mean? But it was the rain delay that threw the whole – threw me out of whack.
That rain delay, I don't know what it did for the Cubs, but that – it seemed to be their saving grace.
Yeah, they said they had a team meeting, and they just recommitted to one another. And they it was a players-only meeting where they said, all right, I'm here for you. You're there for me. We're going to go out there, and we're going to have fun, and we're going to win this thing. And whatever it was, whatever the pep talk was, they did what needed to be done. You made a reference on the Twitter yesterday to the guy who's getting a lot of attention for calling this Cubs-Indians World Series a couple of years ago.
Oh, my God. Yes.
He's a guy who has seemed to have the Tampa Rays in his Twitter name.
Mm-hmm.
But he called two things in his tweet. What were they?
He wrote, please hold, Cubs versus Indians, 2016 World Series, and then the world will end with the score tied in Game 7 in extra innings. Hashtag apocalypse. He tweeted that November 4th of 2014.
Okay.
What?
So when the game is tied and it does go into extra innings on Game 7, are we watching the skies at that point?
Honestly, I said to a friend of mine, I'm like, I'm glad I didn't rush out and get my roots done. I mean, if we are going down, I didn't spend that extra money and time getting the hair did.
I don't know if you guys saw this, but OC Weekly posted an article yesterday that some senior yearbook, mm-hmm. his quote in 1993 was 2016 Cubs win the World Series, calling it now.
Yeah, so I think it's Aliso Viejo High or something. Yeah.
Mission Viejo High School.
Mission Viejo.
Mike Lee is his name. Yeah. He was a diehard Chicago Cubs fan living in California, and that's what he put as his senior quote in his yearbook in 1993.
Unreal.
Chicago Cubs 2016 World Champions, you heard it here first. Now, do people do stuff like that all the time and we just never hear about it because it doesn't come true? Or is this a rare and exceptional item in the news?
I think my senior quote was like a Pink Floyd lyric, so you shouldn't really listen to me ever about that. But I think probably people do that all the time about stupid little things, but something like that. That's pretty cool.
And it's so random because in 1993, there was no reason to think that 2016 was going to be any different than 2011 or than 2000. You know, it's just weird that that's the year that he picked and that he was right.
And an OC kid talking about the Cubs. That's
yes. It's also very random. Well, it was very exciting, and it was so much fun to watch last night. And how about LeBron, by the way? Did you see him all over the game last night?
I did.
He was having the time of his life. I was so surprised that an NBA player could enjoy baseball as much as LeBron seemed to.
Well, who was the other guy who, he's from the Cavaliers, took his shirt off and was like riling up the crowd, waving his shirt around?
Yeah. I do feel bad for Cleveland, man. To have been to, you know, three World Series in the last 25 years and lost them all. And this is the second one in a row they lost in extra innings in Game 7, too, by the way.
And can we just say, hey, Warrior fans, calm down with that. Oh, 3-1. 3-1. You didn't win last night. Zip it. It's insane.
Yes, I hear you. A lot of fans in Cleveland thought that maybe the 3-1 coming back to win it all karma had bitten him in the butt. But it was very exciting.
Yes.
However, there is this alternate opinion of baseball.
Yes, it's over. It's over. We're done. No more baseball. No more boring baseball until next year. We can start having fun again.
Hey, pitchers and catchers report in February. It's just around the corner, you guys. Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
This is going to suck, man.
No, it's not, because our good friend Dr. Drew Pinsky is going to be joining us bright and early today on this Thursday. We'll have him just a little bit after 6 o'clock. We're going to be talking sex addiction with the good doctor, by the way. I got an all-new Bean Makes His Guess on the program today that I think you'll enjoy very much. Dave has put together a new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Jim Rome is on, talking about, among other things, the DirecTV lawsuit from Dodgers fans, I guess, essentially, right?
That's insane.
It's it could be very messy, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And because you demanded it, the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices is back in rotation. And we've got that coming up today. I know it's a crowd favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to it. Also, Ralph Garman has the Showbiz Beat, of course, and we'll do that next right after this on K-Rock. You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Yes, it's true. K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016. The announcement is right around the corner. This show will have all the details for you Monday morning at 7:15 right here on good old K-Rock. Which really makes sense, because why would any other radio station be announcing the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas? I mean, this really is the best place for it, I think.
Would be weird.
Brotherly support?
Yep. Perhaps.
Yeah.
Professional courtesy?
Hey, that's the voice of our friend Ralph Grauman, who joins us for our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, boys and girls, children of all ages. Unbelievable. Unbelievable that Bean went to sleep last night. Unacceptable.
Really?
Stunning that you, first of all, Allie, sports girl, would back that play.
Well, he's 2 hours ahead.
But he gets up 2 hours later.
That's why he woke up early to watch it.
Right. Did you stay up?
Yeah.
Did I stay up?
Well, yeah, but we're 2 hours behind.
But you get the 2 hours on the other end. We all slept the same amount. Just, you get up 2 hours later where he is.
Okay.
So everyone who stayed up to watch the game stayed up, got the same amount of sleep.
I was super tired, Ralph. And again, the question mark
but
for me
was... But
you're
the biggest baseball fan in the world, so you say.
I
and
love
you're watching
but I didn't
what is being
it.
Called perhaps the greatest baseball game ever.
I didn't miss it. I saw every second
you
of it.
You did miss it.
I didn't
Because you
miss
didn't
it.
Watch it while it was happening. It
Look,
was an historic moment that you
yes.
were not witness to. Because you
I
couldn't
was
wait 17
to.
Minutes. No, you weren't witness to it. We all saw it live. You might as well just... 6 months from now, if you watched it on a DVD, would you have been there and seen that moment?
No, because I would have known what happened by then. This was just like not hearing spoilers on The Walking Dead and watching it when you get home.
Not the same at all!
It is the same.
Did they do The Walking Dead live? Is it a play that they broadcast live while it's happening?
No, but for me, it was the same because in my house, no one knew who won.
That's an illusion. You've created that for yourself.
I haven't. It's actually 100% accurate.
No,
there was
it isn't
no
because
difference.
You didn't see it when it happened. You didn't see the historical moment happen while it happened.
Right. I saw it a few hours later on tape. Yes, that is correct.
Not the same thing.
Which to me was exactly the same, except I was
Maybe
very well
you,
rested when I watched
it's
it.
It's the same thing, but it's not the same thing. You can say it. You can create that for yourself, but it's not exactly the same thing at all.
Well,
in fact,
they're
two very different things.
This is... something weird to be
it
angry
is very
about.
Confusing.
No,
yes, it is.
So angry. I don't even like baseball.
Uh-huh.
And I was riveted. There was no
it
way
was
I was not
game.
Going to
it's
see
an amazing game.
The end
I couldn't
of
have loved
that
it anymore.
Moment. That I was no way I was not going to watch the end of this amazing human drama.
Okay.
So Ralph. To say, it's rain. I'm going to go to sleep. It's incomprehensible.
The rain delay could have been 3 hours.
So you say, all right, you know, I'll stick around for 20 minutes and see what happens. I was that way. I was like, okay, you know, I'll spend 20 minutes and we'll see what happens. I'll get an idea. Maybe, you know, maybe. I don't care about baseball. I don't necessarily have to watch. And then I said, no, screw it. I'm going to stick it out and see what happens.
I'm delighted with my decision because it worked out perfectly. I woke up this morning feeling great, watched a little baseball, saw the ending, and here we are.
You're still you, though. That's the problem when you wake up. Boom.
I just wish my brothers were alive to see this.
See?
Yeah.
Dorothy gets it.
Dorothy.
They're all dead now.
Hey, where was Dorothy last night? I didn't see any mention of her on the broadcast.
The fact that there was not a live cam of Dorothy is a shame.
I hope she stayed alive for it.
She's alive.
What if we see her on tape a week from now? Will it be the same thing, though, as having seen her live, a live cam at the event?
No, I would have enjoyed it more during the broadcast.
No, but it's the same. It's the exact same thing. If you see an interview with her a week from now, it's the exact same thing as having seen her during the broadcast.
Okay, Ralph. Time for the Showbiz Beat now. Here's Ralph.
Val Kilmer's doing just dandy, thank you very much. Although Michael Douglas revealed in a recent interview that things don't look too good for his pal, the 56-year-old actor. Val has sounded off on Facebook, saying, although he loves Michael Douglas, he's sadly misinformed. He claims the last time they spoke was 2 years ago, when he asked for the name of a specialist to diagnose a lump in his throat, but it was treated at UCLA and has no cancer whatsoever, which is a very different story from what Michael Douglas said.
Now, Michael Douglas, did he also have some sort of mouth cancer at some point, I think?
Yes. He did.
Okay.
At stage four, and he was treated and made a complete miraculous, actually, recovery. So he said that Val Kilmer was going through the same thing that he went through, and things didn't look too good for his pal.
Oh, my.
But Val says he's made 3 films this year. He's fine. He's sure that Mike meant no harm, he said, but he wants everyone to know that he's just doing fine and dandy. So,
well, that's good news, because he's Batman.
You can choose which side you believe, but I just think it's odd that Michael Douglas could be that wrong about something that serious.
Yeah.
And Val Kilmer has said quite often, even when he was being treated for that lump in his throat, that there was nothing wrong, even when there was a lump in his throat. So... look, I understand people want to keep their medical issues personal, but who knows? Who knows what's happening? This is interesting. There was a TV, there was a movie years ago called American Gigolo, based on the Richard Gere starred in, and now they're making a TV series based on that, which I think is an odd choice. Although, the upside is Showtime's going to be doing it, and they're having playwright Neil LaBute write the show.
Oh, wow.
This guy also wrote lots of Broadway stuff, including The Company of Men, a movie of the same name, The Shape of Things, Wicker Man. So, interesting that they're bringing that to television.
We know it will be very misogynistic, at least. Isn't that the thread that Neil LaBute... accused of going through all of his work.
It'd be hard for him to do it in this case.
Yeah, I would think so.
It's a male prostitute, so
yeah.
Yeah, the ladies win in this one.
He's going to be flipped. And Adam Sandler is going to be doing a guest shot on Kevin James' new show, Kevin Can Wait.
Oh, finally!
This coming Monday. Variety says he'll be playing a cop and former police patrol partner of Kevin, who's now retired apparently on the show and working as a security guard. So those two back together again to make America. Laugh? We'll wait and see. An Oasis reunion doesn't look like it's getting any closer. Actually, it does look like it's getting closer.
What?
Yeah.
That was a roller coaster of emotion.
That was a turnaround.
I was setting you up for the big punch. An opening act has already been booked for an Oasis tour.
What?
It's called Ride, which features guitarist Andy Bell, who played bass in the last incarnation of Oasis. And is a singer in Liam Gallagher's side project, BDI. The word is that Liam has even called his brother Noel. And they've kissed and made up.
No.
That's the story. They said an Oasis tour could happen in 2017.
I mean, I know they're being offered all the money in the world to do it.
As well they should.
So, we have to wait and see. Today's celebrity birthdays. Comedian Roseanne Barr is 64 years old today. Comedian Dennis Miller is 63. Tim McElrath from Rise Against, he is 38 years old today. Colin Kaepernick turns 29. And model Kendall Jenner celebrates her 21st birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Got an all-new edition of Bean Makes Us Guests coming up in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show on KROQ. You know what I'm excited about that, Allie, is that Kevin is out today. So that means Beer Mug steps in.
Yeah.
And he's the best guesser.
Define best.
It'll be fun. That's coming up first, though. Dr. Drew Pinsky is a guy you've heard of. He is the host of the Dr. Drew podcast, the Adam and Dr. Drew show. He also is on KABC with Mike Catherwood every weekday afternoon from noon till 3 on 790 KABC. And he joins us by phone today, as I understand it, from New York City. Hey, Dr. Drew.
That's right. I couldn't miss you guys. I couldn't miss the chance to light up the airwaves with Bob. Come on.
And I appreciate that very much. Are you in New York doing TV? Is that what Dave tells me?
Yes. Yes, and odds and ends, and had some other things I had to do, and so when I'm here, I just try. I'm like on my way to Wendy Williams right now.
Wendy Williams?
What is she talking to you about?
How you doing?
We get along, we have fun. She's on her show, I go do it. It's all right.
I love it.
What a glamorous, celebrity-filled life you lead.
I know. Right now, we're being stopped by NYPD's finest.
Okay.
So this is very interesting.
Do you have to go, or could you stay on the phone?
No, I can stay.
Okay. All right. Here's the story that we wanted your take on, and I know that you have spent a lot of time throughout the years on Loveline and on your HLN show and others talking about sex addiction, but there's never been a more high-profile guy than Anthony Weiner, who now apparently – is this his first time where he's actually seeking professional help for sex addiction, or has he tried before and failed, Dr. Drew?
We heard before that he had some sort of, quote, counseling, and back when that happened, I was on the record saying, that is not enough for a guy like this. I mean, this guy has full-blown sex addiction. And that's the kind of thing that requires inpatient treatment. Requires it. You know what? I'm literally being sort of looked over by NYPD, so I'm going to get out of my car and have this interview. Hold on a second, gentlemen.
Okay.
Ladies,
this is very exciting.
Very interesting experience. My car gets pulled over and just shaken down by the NYPD right in the middle of this interview. But here we go.
Were you driving, Dr. Drew?
No. For some reason, with my driver, I guess he's... it's the profile or something.
Okay.
This is interesting, live on the radio. Yes, he was previously counseled. It was clearly inadequate. Obviously, this guy has a severe problem. When you ever look at somebody and go, oh, my God, why can't they stop? They're a smart person, and look what he's got to lose, and he just you know, you shake your head, and that's when you know you have a mental health issue, you have addiction.
Yeah, and you've talked about before, you know, one of the main signals for addiction is if you know, don't the consequences don't influence your decision to stop. And this guy lost his wife, he lost his seat in Congress, he lost a bid for mayor, and he's the laughingstock of the world. Yet every single time he comes out and says, no, I beat it, I'm not going to do it anymore, I've learned my lesson. And then 3 months later, he goes through the whole cycle again. Like, you can't even imagine that he would ever swipe right again.
Yeah, and not only that, it you know, people can look at something like heroin and go, okay, I get it. But something like this, you know, how is he getting so much out of this that he's willing to sacrifice everything? It's not rational, and that's in fact the point. So what has to happen? He needs to go into a place where he can't do this, where he is in a structured environment. Believe it or not, remember we did that program, Sex Rehab, years ago?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, TV. And what you do, we fashioned a program much like what he's going to be going through. So he'll actually go through a withdrawal. They actually get very irritable and agitated and discontent, and they have to learn how to redirect their focus because they're so sexually preoccupied. We have to get rid of – first thing they'll do is set up something called a circle plan, get enrolled in a 12-step program, get certain cognitive behavioral therapies, and get into group and start to look at the profound – and this is the big issue with sex addiction, the profound shame. The shame is a big issue with sex addiction because think how when they really start to look at what they've done, it's just shattering.
Yeah, it has to be. And by the way, he also still has potential legal charges ahead of him because one of these girls that he was texting turned out to be underage, and he knew it, right?
Well, that's how we got the whole Hillary Clinton email mess, right? They were
right.
Looking at his computer. And, yeah, it's a long-term proposition for this guy. If you remember, Tiger Woods went into an inpatient treatment program and had intensive treatment but never really completed it. I have a feeling my bet is he's going to go to the very same program. It's run by a guy named Patrick Carnes, who is sort of the father of the conceptualization of sex addiction and sex addiction treatment. But, you know, however you conceive of it, these people have very profound issues that require a lot of time to deal with and need a lot of structure, a lot of support. And, hey, I got counseling as an outpatient. Ain't going to do it.
Not going to do it. And because the Internet is his weapon of choice here, Dr. Drew, is he going to have to – I mean, we're going to have to treat him like a 10-year-old where we put Internet blocks on what pages he's allowed to look at? Is that the only way to keep him off of these sites that are getting him in trouble?
It's not the only way, but it's actually helpful. I mean, because there's so much shame in sex addiction, there's a lot of lying. And so we even sometimes – or the people I work with that do a lot of sex addiction would actually put them on lie detectors sometimes to make sure they're holding with the program. And they will develop something called a circle plan, which is something they develop in SA, Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous, which is on the outer circle are things that are healthy for them to do, middle circle, things that are slippery, and then the inner circle, things they can't do or can't get near. And the things that go in the inner circle are things like their computer and their phone. And if they finally get access back to their computer and phone, it has to be, as you say, scrubbed clean and nannied up.
Right. All right. Last question on this topic, Dr. Drew, and that is, isn't going to sex addiction the best way to meet a partner, though? I mean, I would, because there are men and women are both in this this place that he's gone to.
Why is Mug so quiet right now? It's very interesting. But, yes, men and women go, but they're, first of all, in most programs now, they're separated. They're not together. So there's no opportunity for that unless it's a gay individual in treatment, which happens too, and so that has to be managed. But these are highly structured, highly supervised programs, and yes, that's a grave, grave concern. But it's much like in putting drug addicts all in one place. Drug addicts bring drugs into treatment all the time,
right.
And it's our job to stay on top of that.
All right, we can't say goodbye to you without knowing what's going on with your driver. Have the NYPD given you the clear signal?
It's weird. They have some sort of sweep here. Everybody that's in a car got pulled over. Their driver's shaken down and all of his licenses looked at. And now my guy's waiting for me to get back in the car. It was the weirdest thing I ever saw. I think it's some sort of, I don't know what it is, but I'll let you know.
I mean, in New York City, I guess they've got their antenna up all the time, you know, just looking for anything. So
yeah.
Who knows?
Oh, yeah. They're on top of it. So I'm getting back in the car.
Okay. All right.
Wait, hold on. I'll ask you, what happened? What did he want?
Let's find out.
Oh, he said he was talking on the phone, so I pulled him over and tried to cite him.
Oh, is, you know, that was it. That's boring.
Well, that's not terrorism.
Guess who was talking on the phone? It was me.
Oh, no. All right. Well, listen, we'll let you go. Say hi to Wendy Williams. We'll look for you when you come back on KABC in the Afternoons with Mike, and, of course, drdrew.com for all the live appearances, podcasts, and so much more. Thank you for the time today, Doc. Have a great one.
All right, buddy. Thanks. Bye-bye. Take care, guys. See ya.
Didn't you guys think for a minute that Dr. Drew was going down, like they were going to arrest him for something right live on the air?
No.
Really? No.
Nope.
Just hoping for a little excitement. No. Hey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Thursday morning. It is 6:23, and it's time for Bean Makes Us Guess.
Bean makes us guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
Bean makes us guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just want to tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for Bean Makes Us Guess.
Yes. All right, I think you guys will enjoy this one. Kevin is out today, so Beer Mug is going to be filling in on that slot.
Yeah!
Woo! For entire generations of kids, some of their most fond memories are of watching Saturday morning cartoons, the animated shows that had become instant classics, entertained children across the country, and most had a special theme song that was so catchy, kids just couldn't forget it. What are the greatest cartoon theme songs of all time?
All time.
Wow.
Now,
that's a long time.
This is Ranker.com once again, so this is internet curated. They do say Saturday morning cartoons, but not everything on the list was exclusively a Saturday morning cartoon. So anything is fair game for what the internet has decided are the greatest cartoon theme songs of all time. We're looking to fill in the top 10. Everybody start thinking about it. Allie, are you writing down furiously?
Furiously writing things down.
It's what
it's
I do.
It's amazing how little it helps her, though, in the long
run.
She jots a ton of stuff and then says... Bill Withers? It just doesn't make any sense.
90210?
I don't recall her ever winning the game, Ralph, if that's what you're referencing.
Oh,
I think, Mr. Garvin, you have seniority. You get to go first this time around for the greatest cartoon theme songs of all time for this edition of Bean Makes Us Guess.
Boy. I would have to say Yabba Dabba Doo, the Flintstones, right?
That is a great guess. That is number two on the list of the all-time most popular. Yeah, number two. Well done. All right, Alan McKay, you're next.
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh, would you prefer Mugs goes next?
I think it's easier to go in this order because Mugs is standing right there.
Yeah. I was just thinking in order of intelligence. All right, go ahead, Mugs.
Snap. Speaking of Doo, how about Scooby Dooby Doo?
Only number one, ladies and gentlemen.
Suck it. Where are you? Look at that, Mugs.
Wow.
How about that?
He's dancing. Now he's dancing.
He's never won anything. He's so happy right now. All right, guys. Well, the tough ones, the easy ones, I guess, are out of the way. Scooby-Doo number one, Flintstones number two. Allie McKay, you're up.
What about the Tom and Jerry Show?
I'm sorry, no.
Really?
No Tom and Jerry. That's not to say it didn't make it anywhere on the list. I don't see it as I scroll through it here, but it is not in the top 10, I'm sorry to say.
This is the worst.
See, now you said they weren't all Saturday morning cartoon shows. Does that mean primetime cartoon shows are in this list as well?
Yes. Everything is fair game.
Everything is fair game.
Animated cartoon shows.
Well, then I'd have to say The Simpsons. Meet the Simpsons.
The Simpsons, ladies and gentlemen, is number seven. Well done. Ralph Garman, two for two.
Mm. Yeah.
All right, Muggs, let's see if you were a one-hit wonder or you were able to come up with another one in the top ten.
I'm going back-to-back here. Of all time, the Looney Tunes theme.
That is a fantastic guess.
That is
not on the list. It came in just outside the top 10 at number 11, by the way.
Bull crap. Who wrote this list?
Right.
Well, again, it's the internet, so you can blame
Bean wrote it.
It's not my list. I didn't write it.
Bean wrote it.
If this isn't on there, I'm done.
Promise?
A little bit. The Muppet Babies.
The Muppet Babies? Is that your real guess or is that a comedy guess?
Really? Yeah, I was just kidding, guys.
Allie's done.
Oh, no.
Thanks for playing.
The Muppet
Babies. It's you versus me, Mugs.
How does the Muppet Babies go?
It's just...
It's like...
Muppet Babies. I'm sure it is a beloved theme song. It did not make the top 60 on this list. I'm sorry to say. Not in the top 60. So. All right, Ralph Garman, you are in the lead and you are up again, please.
Let's meet George Jetson.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Jetsons. Yes, they are on the list.
Meet George Jetson.
And they are number five. Number five in the top 10 cartoon theme songs of all time.
fire. All right, Mutz.
So you said George's car.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't. I don't watch.
I love the Jetsons.
The Jetsons are awesome.
I didn't watch cartoons. I watched like Cross Superstars. That was my thing.
Mother Babies you watched, apparently.
I did.
Let's go Schoolhouse Rock.
Schoolhouse Rock. Interesting. No.
It wasn't really so much a whole cartoon. Oh, it was just little interstitials between commercial breaks.
All right, one more time around the horn, and then, Allie, you're up now.
I remember this one. Felix the cat, the wonderful, wonderful cat. You laugh so much, your sides will ache, your heart will go pit-a-pat. Watch a Felix, the wonderful... Oh.
Wow. Okay. I'm so sorry now.
So my turn again?
Really? Yes,
can Allie be done?
I thought Allie quit, by the way. Why is she still talking?
You're right.
How about one of my favorites, Underdog?
Underdog was a great theme. Unfortunately, did not make this list, though, of the top ten. Maybe a little further down. I'm sorry. All right, your final guess here to save your reputation, Muggs.
It wasn't
cartoon theme songs.
It wasn't a cartoon, but I'm going Fraggle Rock.
Then it's not a cartoon.
I don't care.
Saying?
It's still a great theme.
But it doesn't matter. We're not talking about great TV.
I don't
themes.
Care.
Yeah, Raiders of the Lost Ark is a great theme, too, but it's not on this list.
Star Trek. Those are my favorite themes.
Allie, the final guess and then the reveal, please.
I got nothing.
You're out altogether.
How about Mighty Mouse? Did Mighty Mouse make the list?
Oh.
Mighty Mouse would have made my list, I'll tell you that. Yeah. All right. Here's the ones that we didn't have. So we had number one was Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Number two was the Flintstones. Number three, a controversial choice, I think, but this is what the internet voted for, is the Pink Panther theme. The Pink Panther, which...
Yeah,
was a cartoon, but it's not one that I think of when I think about sitting down to watch TV cartoons, I'll tell you that.
No, it's a famous theme. That was a good one.
Yeah. Number four, Muggs, this is one I thought you'd come up with. DuckTales.
Oh! Chip just held up a sign.
Yeah. That's
a great tale. That's a great theme.
Kevin would have said that if he was here because Chip thought of it.
Number five was the Jetsons. Number six is one of my favorite TV theme songs of all time. How about this one, you guys? I mean, come on, right?
Yeah, that's
you know
a
what?
Major fail.
If Jem is on there, I'm an idiot.
Jem is not. No. Okay. Number seven was The Simpsons. Number eight on their list was the... It's time for
Animaniacs.
Animaniacs. Number nine I reject totally. I don't know anyone who ever watched it, but it's Inspector Gadget.
Oh! Are you kidding me?
Legit for you? Legit?
Oh, absolutely. One of the great themes ever and one of the great cartoons ever.
Yeah.
Go, go, Gadget Arms.
Yeah. And number 10, according to the internet, is...
The Pinky and the Brain.
Oh, my. Yes, Pinky and the Brain was part of Animaniacs. That was tricky. That's tricky.
There you go. So anyway, that's the list. I think, once again, Ralph Garman is the winner. And this has been Beat Makes Us Guess.
Beat Makes Us Guess, yeah.
It's not a cartoon, but I'm going to guess Fraggle Rock anyway.
Yeah.
60 Minutes? Is it President Franklin Pierce? Ugh, Muggs is the best. Hey, producer of the Kevin and Bean Show, Dave Sanchez, the King of Mexico. How are you, my friend?
That's me.
How was Kanye West last night?
Oh, amazing. Such a crazy show. I think it's the best show I've ever seen in the dark.
What do you mean, in the dark?
Like, you can't see Kanye. You see shadows of Kanye. He's like the old Kanye, but I like the new Kanye. Almost as much as Kanye loves Kanye.
What's happening?
Are you following
right
this, Allie? I'm
no,
lost.
No, no.
I don't speak.
Are you
just
quoting Life of Pablo? You still drunk, though?
Yeah, I hate you guys.
Oh, you're quoting Kanye?
Yes.
Yeah,
I
wouldn't.
Okay. Okay.
I wouldn't know that.
Yeah, because you're a bad person.
How much time of the show was devoted to Kanye just speaking extemporaneously like he do?
About 1 minute.
Wow.
Yeah.
You got lucky.
Yeah. No, he hasn't been doing, other than the Jay-Z rant.
Mm-hmm.
He's been just performing on stage.
Sticking to the script,
yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. I mean, he starts his songs over again to, you know, it's like crazy. Like, he started Famous, I think, like six times. So, yeah, but...
All right. Huh. Well, good times then. Dave is in here because it is time for, once again, a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Hit it, Steve. We should be in the club or something here. What's happening right now? This first video on the Internet Roundup, if you do nothing else, but go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com and watch this video. And I got to warn you, if you've got little ones in the car, it is a sex tape. Okay, I'm just going to put it right out there. It is a sex tape. But it's a turtle sex tape.
This is a big ass turtle. He looks like he weighs 200 pounds, right? This turtle?
He's big.
And he's on top of another turtle that's very difficult to see. It's quite an intricate position. I wouldn't have expected this was possible with turtles. But the best part about it is listen to this turtle. Listen to how exciting this turtle sex is for him.
Wow. 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 Wow.
And so it goes, just like that.
Wow.
Is it the greatest thing you've ever seen, guys?
No.
What? This is actually my second favorite turtle sex video.
Oh, my God. Turtle, where am I?
Yeah, turtle having sex with the shoe is my number one. But this one's a close. It's very close.
Allie, did you watch this video?
I did.
Didn't love it?
No. It's a turtle having sex.
He's having the time of his life, though.
Okay.
And then, how many partners have you been with who have given you those kinds of rave reviews? Wow. Wow.
Seven.
Wow. Oh, seven. Okay. All right. This is a Diwali special. You got to see this one, too, because you know how once in a while a fireworks display goes wrong where everything explodes at once instead of going off by the timer? This is a festival. I think it's in India?
Yeah.
India. It's a celebration that they have every year about this time. And this is, it looks like an entire city block that just goes up all at one time. I mean, it's pretty spectacular. And of course, it sounds like this. Yeah, that one's more of a visual, I think, perhaps, than
yeah,
a
video. But that was a fireworks store that just happened to catch fire. And
it was pretty great.
Yeah.
10 Simpsons jokes that came true is this one. Everything from the rise of President Trump to the existence of Octomom. It's amazing, you know, as long as the Simpsons have been on the air, that they have put a lot of stuff into their scripts that ended up coming true, and here's a taste.
In the 1992 episode of The Simpsons, we see a billboard of a giant itchy axing Scratchy's head off, squirting blood onto a newly married couple. If anyone was going to bring this idea to life, it had to be Mr. Violence himself, Quentin Tarantino. In a New Zealand billboard advertising campaign for his action movie Kill Bill, lead actress Uma Thurman was depicted wielding a samurai sword while blood-like paint dripped off her weapon onto the white cars below.
It's a must for Simpsons fans. Definitely check it out. Here's a guy who teaches you how to make your own songs, basically, starting with a beat that he chose to use a sniff, from one of Donald Trump's debates, and built a whole song around it. And it's pretty fascinating to watch this man work.
And we're going to start by making a hi-hat. So all you need to do is filter away some of the low end, and then you're going to shorten the sample so that you're only using the very beginning of it. And now we can program a simple rhythm.
It kind of making music look pretty easy, right? That's pretty cool how he does all that.
It's awesome.
Epic rap battles of history are back this time. You can't be surprised by this with the election just days away. It's Donald Trump versus, right here, you'll hear some Hillary Clinton.
You're racist. Ooh, you must get so pissed that your hands are too small to stop and frisk.
You use your fingers to touch chicks.
She's only 12 years old.
That's enough.
But she's married, sir.
Just gotta get pushy.
What's your daughter?
Well, grab her by the...
That's assault, brother! Don't tell me the victim's at fault, sucker! Don't know about snakes!
Here's another one of my favorite videos of the week on the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup. This is a dog, a very sweet dog, who loves playing with his favorite toy, which is a little Gumby chew toy. Well, one of his owners dresses up in a full-size Gumby suit and walks into the room. And the look on this dog's face is the sweetest thing ever. Until, of course, then he tries to kill the full-size Gumby.
He's loving him.
I was hoping for a ravaging, yeah. Yeah, I was hoping.
Jolene, he's real. You have a real life Gumby. He's so happy.
He is so happy. He just doesn't know what to make of it.
The pause that dog makes to go from the chew toy to look up to the full-size human chew toy is the most magical thing I've seen in a long time.
It's so sweet. Yeah. We used to have a guy on the show all the time back in the day named Tom Meeb. He used to be the guy who used to put out comedy albums of telemarketer calls. He would screw with telemarketers when they would call him. And he was a very, very funny guy. I hadn't heard his name in a long time until this video showed up. He took a, what would you say it is, a statue, basically, of a kid dressed in a Spider-Man costume?
It's like a little dummy, yeah.
A little dummy, and put him in front of people's doors for trick-or-treating. So there's no actual kid. He's just standing there with this dummy dressed as Spider-Man, and everybody tries to talk to this little kid, who, of course, isn't real. And he just explains that he's deaf, which works fine until a family starts speaking sign language to the child.
He's deaf.
Oh, he's deaf.
Yeah.
Oh, he's deaf. I have a brother that's deaf. Can we say sign language to him? We say hello, hi, how are you?
Oh, you know sign language?
Oh, yes.
He's shy, too. He's real shy.
He's shy?
And nobody really notices that the kid doesn't move, but it's very funny that he gets all sorts of free candy without having a kid with him.
People are nice.
Couple of Halloween weather pranks. The first one was very well done. A lot of people watching the channel, it looked like the weathercaster got struck by lightning and disappeared from the screen. It's pretty well done. By the way, how is Irish a real language?
Language is so hot.
That is tough, though. That's a tough one. I don't know if I could ever learn that. And Sean Welby, our favorite. We had her on the show a few months ago. She's the one who puts all the weather puns in her reports. This time she did one with Halloween movies. I don't know how many it ended up being, but it's dozens in her little report, and she's great as always.
Now, once again, it'll be turning foggy this evening, so if you're walking dead late at night, be careful. The shining sun will make an appearance Saturday morning, and those southwesterly winds that'll be warm will be a bit of an omen. That'll keep those temperatures in the teens.
I love her so much. And Allie, you're telling me that she has handed in her notice at Channel 5? We're not going to be able to see her do that anymore?
That was her last report. She is moving on to different things that are very exciting. Stay tuned.
I believe they're stateside too, right?
She had mentioned she had wanted to come to America.
And finally, Jimmy Kimmel every year does a YouTube challenge where he has parents videotape telling their kids that, hey, we ate all of your Halloween candy. And the reactions are priceless. It's so funny to see how sad these kids get. And every once in a while, a kid will be like, it's okay, Mom. I still love you. And it just breaks your heart. Well, this year, Jimmy did something different. Now that his daughter, Jane, is 2, he did the YouTube challenge on his own kid. And here's a little bit of what that sounded like.
It has dirt in that?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a little bit of dirt in there. But, Jane, you're missing the point. Your father ate all your Halloween candy.
No.
Are you going to contradict everything I say?
No.
You're not?
I want to get pancakes.
All right, pancakes.
That's adorable. You can see that plus the original YouTube challenge of I told my kids I ate their Halloween candy and all these videos at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Got so much to prove. God, don't let me lose my mind.
Hey! No?
Mm-mm.
No. Hey, Ralph Kramer is here with the Showbiz Beat, and then coming up right after the top of the hour, imagine what it would be like for you right now if your name was Donald Trump and you weren't the Donald Trump running for president. Imagine what your life would be like if you were a young woman whose actual name is Hillary Clinton. You're going to meet both of those people coming up right after the top of the hour. First, what's going on in the world of entertainment, Ralph?
Well, the Cubs win after, you know, a couple of years of not winning a World Series. It was 108 years.
108. It had been a while, yeah.
Yeah. Of course, ratings were enormous last night, and the finals numbers aren't in, but they're saying it's the most watched World Series game since 91. Apparently, so a lot of people were watching. But if you were like me and you watched the whole thing, the biggest joy for me was watching how much joy it gave Bill Murray. That's all I really cared about at the end. He was thrilled beyond words that his beloved Cubbies had finally won the World Series. And Fox Sports, being brilliant, gave him a microphone and sent him into the clubhouse to hang out with the boys and talk to them. And you should got to catch it online of Bill talking to Dexter Fowler and Theo Epstein, the executive in charge of the Cubs, and Jason Hayward. Very entertaining watching Bill swig champagne and spray champagne on other people as he talks to the Cubs in their locker room. Here he is talking to Dexter Fowler.
Bill, we do it for fans like you. Y'all been fans for all your lives.
my whole life.
Your whole life.
I've been a Cubs fan longer than you've been growing that beard, Dad. Longer than you've been growing that beard.
That's awesome.
It's coming
a long
in.
Time.
It looks fantastic.
You know what? I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Because it's built for 2016 champions.
All right. I'm letting my beard grow from now on. I want to look more and more like you every day.
I want to look like you when I grow up.
He's having the time of his life, I'll tell you. It was pretty cool. I loved it. He was out on the diamond blowing the horn on the car that was the gift for the MVP. He was out there just behind the wheel, just pushing the horn, having a good time. So,
did you see the story about Bill Murray from Game 6, Ralph, that
he
showed
gave
up
the ticket?
With an extra ticket and just gave it to a woman who was out front and just sat with her for the whole game?
Yep.
He's just, he never stops amazing people with what
best.
He does.
And Justin Bieber is the opposite. He's the anti-Bill Murray. He is taking his decision not to take photos with fans very seriously, standing by that decision. The UK's Daily Mail reports he's seriously disappointed a little boy who was patiently waiting for Bieber outside a tanning salon in Dublin, Ireland. Just waiting and waiting and waiting. Bieber finally came out and he said, "Can I get a picture?" And then the security team tackled him to the ground and murdered him.
What?
Murdered him?
No, they brushed him aside. But still,
aww.
Beeb disappoints again. So Bill Murray never disappoints. Mm-hmm. Bieber always disappoints.
Accurate.
That's how much we know. I don't know if I can watch this. And I guess I will. They're doing a documentary about the terror attacks in Paris with Eagles of Death Metal at Bataclan. Pitchfork.com says it will be told from the perspective of the band, who were there at Bataclan Concert Hall on November 13th of last year when gunmen opened fire inside the venue. Our buddy Colin Hanks is directing the film, which HBO is producing. And the cable network plans to have the film ready to air in February of 2017. It's going to be a hard watch.
It is, yeah.
There are certain events that are too terrifying and too painful for me to sometimes enjoy a documentary about. I hope this won't be one of them. I will try to watch it. But
I was thinking about that when you were talking about Patriots Day yesterday, how hard that's going to be even to watch, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. There's something, I think, being at the site of the Boston Marathon and having those bombings go off was horrific. And you can see yourself in that situation, and it's terrifying. But the Bataclan situation, I think, is even more terrifying because we've all been in that situation so many times in our lives where we've been at a concert event. Mm-hmm. And you are in an enclosed space inside that building.
You're very vulnerable.
Very vulnerable. That I think it disturbs me even more so than the Boston Marathon bombings, although they're both horrific. So, I don't know, there's a claustrophobia element to being inside a building and having what happened to those people in Paris that is just terrifying to me.
Well, I know that Colin Hanks will handle it beautifully.
Well, no, I'm sure it'll be a brilliant film. And it's a personal thing whether I'll be able to watch it or not. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Comedian Roseanne Barr is 64 years old today. Comedian Dennis Miller turns 63. Tim McElrath from Rise Against, he's 38. Colin Kaepernick is 29. Let's all take a knee, shall we? Anyone? No knees? Nobody wants to knee? All right. He's 29, and model Kendall Jenner is 21 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show this beat.
And Jim Rome talks World Series and so much more with our weekly visit coming up 1 hour from right now here on the Kevin Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. Thanks so much for tuning in here on a Thursday. About a year ago, a little more, we introduced you to a man in Seattle, Washington named Taylor Swift. Now, that doesn't sound like it would be very much fun, does it?
No.
If your name is Taylor Swift, doesn't that just seem like it would be just a giant pain in the ass?
Constantly.
Imagine his surprise a few years back when an up-and-coming country artist shared his name.
I was kind of like, okay, I should look into this. So I started researching. I was like, okay, so she does country music. That's great. She writes her own music. That's awesome. She seems like a great person.
Then imagine every single day of his life since.
And then there's that moment when they're like, wait, your name's actually Taylor Swift? Wait, your name's Taylor Swift, and it happens all the time, numerous times a day. Even at Starbucks, they ask your name, and it's like, Taylor, and it's like, oh, wouldn't that be funny if your last name was Swift? It's like, here's my debit card.
I just feel like you'd be so tired of having that conversation multiple times every single day, through no fault of your own.
Yeah. I'd call myself Tay.
You change your name, yeah. Go by, get a middle name, something, right?
Yeah, T.
Well, that was a year ago, and now there's a story just like that back in the news, and I love this topic because we have lots of listeners. I mean, we've talked to Tom Cruise in the past. We've talked to lots of our listeners who unfortunately end up having the same name as celebrities, and it's so interesting to hear what their lives are like as a result of that. This is a story from CNN introducing us to two people, Hillary Clinton, a 20-something from New Orleans, Louisiana, and a cancer doctor in Florida named Donald Trump. Here's a little of their stories.
My name is Donald Trump. I'm a medical oncologist.
My name is Hillary Clinton. I am an event specialist here at Suwannee Halloween, and I am not running for president.
Hillary Clinton, by the way, was born in New Orleans, Louisiana, at the time that the other Hillary Clinton was the first lady of Arkansas. And it was just a coincidence that that was her name. Her family had no knowledge of this other Hillary Clinton at all. And she said it didn't make much of a difference in her life until the Monica Lewinsky thing happened. She was in grade school at the time, and all of a sudden, people were making fun of her because Hillary Clinton was on the news all the time.
Sure.
When I first meet someone, the immediate reaction would be, are you kidding me? Are you being real right now?
I introduce myself, and they say, no, your name can't be Donald Trump.
All right, listen to this phone call.
Thank you for calling Trump International Hotel.
My name's Donald Trump. I'd like to make a reservation for Saturday night, please.
So Donald Trump is now calling the Trump International Hotel to try to get a dinner reservation.
So I've actually had a few reservations at restaurants where they've made the assumption or they've, you know, thought, what if it's Hillary Clinton coming to the restaurant? And I've had a few private rooms.
So maybe there is an upside once in a while to having that name. If people think you're the famous person, maybe you always get on the list for the seat or for the club or whatever.
But I can't imagine Hillary parties.
Because Hillary is known to party, right? But I can't imagine it's not more negatives than positives if that's your case, right?
Definitely.
I'd love to hear from you, the Kevin and Bean listener, who has that name that you share with a celebrity. Please call us now, 1-800-520-1067. Back to the CNN report. I think Donald Trump is still waiting to get that reservation.
Hello, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
Can I get your name again?
Donald Trump.
Facebook won't let me have my name. And so I'm Hill Clinton on Facebook. I get about an email a week that people are trying to hack into my Twitter account.
How about that, by the way?
And I can imagine how many posts she's tagged in as Hillary Clinton.
As Hillary
and she's
Clinton,
like, nope, wrong one.
Yeah, but having people try to hack your social media, again, through no fault of your own, it's just, I mean, it's bad enough for the people who have a name, you know, that's that gets mistaken for somebody else on Twitter because they're, you know, their hashtags are similar or their Twitter names are similar. But this is, I mean, actively people trying to bring her site down sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, and Facebook, having to explain to Facebook all the time that you are who you say you are must be a pain in the ass, too.
I have reached out to him intermittently over the years. I suggested to Mr. Trump that he should join me in shaving his head and we could raise a lot of money for cancer research.
By the way, you can suggest a lot of things to the other Donald Trump, but cutting his hair is not going to be one of them. He's pretty proud of that hair. The Trumps have met each other, by the way. Back in 2010, Donald J. Trump, the man running for president, picked up the phone to ask Dr. Trump for a favor. He had the son of a close friend who was hoping to get into a clinical trial at the medical center where Dr. Trump was working at the time. So they did meet and were very cordial. But Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton are two people that are in the world today. And we want to hear your stories at 1-800-520-1067. Do you have the same name as a celebrity? And what's that like for you? Why don't we start with Leah? She's in Corona and she's up first on line three here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Leah.
Hey,
welcome to the show. Thanks so much for listening. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
And your last name is what, Leah?
Thompson.
Leah Thompson.
I share a name with the actress from Back to the Future and Howard the Duck.
Some Kind of Wonderful.
Yeah. I'm a little bit young, so I don't know that movie.
that hurt me.
That does hurt. That's very hurtful.
Sorry.
Now. So how often, I mean, you know, it's not as bad as being Hillary Clinton, but how often in the course of a week does it come up where somebody has to have a conversation with you because of that name?
Probably three or four times. And it's always good. It's never that's weird. It's, Back to the Future. So, you know, she's a good looking girl.
So
it's not a bad name to share.
So people, it's kind of an icebreaker because people already like her, and it sounds like you do too. So it's kind of something you guys can bond over right out of the gate. That's not too bad, I guess.
That's true.
All right, Leah, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye. Let's go to Brian. He's in San Pedro, line four. Hey, Brian, thanks for calling. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. What's your last name?
Johnson.
Brian Johnson, rock and roll.
AC/DC, mate.
And how's that for you?
Actually, quite funny once in a while. Once in a while, a friend of mine will go, hey, you ever meet Brian Johnson from AC/DC? And they go, no. Well, you're not going to meet him. This is Brian Johnson, though. It's kind of a head turner in a bar, that's for sure.
You must hate Axl Rose, right?
Oh, he's a dick.
Right? Because he took over for Brian Johnson in AC/DC.
He did? I did not know that.
Oh, Brian, no, you got to start paying attention to the AC/DC news, my friend. Come on.
Oh, he's even a bigger dick now than I thought he was before.
All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's say hi to Jennifer Lopez. She's calling in from Whittier, and she's on line six. Hey, Jennifer.
Hi, how's it going?
How much do you hate being named Jennifer Lopez?
It's super annoying.
Tell me about it.
Every time I call anywhere, they ask my name, and they say, are you the singer? And I say, no. And everybody acts like they're the first person that is saying, are you the original person, you know, like the famous person.
Right. Everyone thinks they're original with that one. Oh, J-Lo,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Have you considered what Ali said she would do, which is to just find some other way to identify yourself? And I don't know what you could do. I don't know if you'd want to be Jenny or if you have a middle name or something.
She'd be Jenny
like
from the block if she did
well,
that.
Well, Jenny would be tough for you too, yeah. Then. I mean, do you ever try to get around it by using a different name?
No, I just try to avoid giving my last name. Like, if people ask my name, I just say Jennifer.
Yeah. I'm sorry. And how old are you, by the way?
37.
Okay,
what,
so
what do you look like, Jennifer?
No. I asked because I was wondering if you came along young enough after J-Lo was kind of already established and stuff. It was just a crazy coincidence that this celebrity came out of nowhere when you were already Jennifer Lopez.
Well, I married into this name, so it was never my original name.
Oh, so you could have kept your maiden name, I guess, if you wanted to, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, good enough, J-Lo. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, 1-800-520-106. And we've got lots of other celebrity name doppelgangers on the phone to talk to. We're going to talk to Jimmy Page when we come back right after this on K-Rock. Talking to people who share their names with celebrities on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show at 106.7 KROQ. We just introduced you to a young lady in Louisiana named Hillary Clinton. It's not a lot of fun for her. And a doctor in Florida named Donald Trump, who doesn't love it either. But our listeners, some of them are really into it. Eric Estrada writes in, Allie.
Oh.
My name is Eric Estrada. Growing
up, Ponch?
My daycare supervisors, teachers, and friends and parents would always call me Ponch or Poncherello. People always assume I hate it, but I love it. It's an easy name to remember. Funny thing is, my parents didn't pick the name because of the actor. They picked it because my aunt loved The Little Mermaid and loved the character Prince Eric.
Oh.
So that's how he became an Eric. Meanwhile, from Wichita, Kansas, listening online this morning, Brian Wilson writes in. I'm always asked, by the way, he refers to himself as Brian Goddamn Wilson. I'm always asked why I'm working and not retired from my Beach Boys money. Every time I meet someone, they have to bring it up, and I have to fake laugh about it. Just this morning, someone taped a Brian Wilson live ad at my desk. It's really the most annoying thing ever. Thanks, Mom and Dad. Signed, Brian Goddamn Wilson. Wichita, Kansas.
I can imagine you are literally fake laughing multiple times a day.
Yes. Now, is it better or worse for him when the San Francisco Giants have a very prominent, well-known pitcher named Brian Wilson? Does it take a little bit of the heat off of you being the Brian Wilson Beach Boys guy, or is it just double the people who now make fun of your name?
No, I wonder. People are probably like, oh, where's your beard?
Right.
Just kidding. You're a surfer. Yeah, just
all
bad.
Right. Let's take a couple more calls, 1-800-520-1067, if you share your name with a celebrity. We lost Jimmy Page, but hopefully he'll call back.
No.
Let's talk to Fabio, though. He's in Alhambra on line two. Let's see what it's like for Fabio. Hey, Fabio, welcome to the show.
Hey, hi.
So how's that going?
So actually, my name is Flavio, spelled F-L-A-V-I-O, but most people can't even pronounce that the first time. So they say Fabio, since that's how it sounds like. And it actually comes a lot more from older ladies. They'll be like, oh, what's your name, Flavio? And then they'll say, oh, like the model. You just need to grow out your hair. He's so handsome.
Right.
He gets really old.
Yeah.
Growing up.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it helps a little bit that he's finally seems to be fading a little bit. So now at least you can meet some people who've never heard of him once in a while, right?
No, yeah, and it helps. That helps. Like with people my age, I'm 23. But growing up, I had no idea who this person was until my mom was actually, oh, he's a model. And I asked her, did you name me after that? She's like, actually, I had no idea who you was when you were born.
All right, Fabio, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Robert Rhodes. He's in Yorba Linda. He's on line 5. Hey, Robert, what's going on, man?
Well, it hasn't come up for quite a while, but my name is Robert Rhodes, which is spelled the exact same way as the serial killer that's in the news lately because I guess he raped a bunch of women and killed a boy back in somewhere between 75 and 81.
Oh, my God.
Spelled the same way, and I'm listening to KFI on the way home the other day, and they say my name, and I'm like, what the heck? So I get home, and I didn't think I'd mention it to my wife, and then she's reading the handout that you get that tells you about all the propositions. And it says on there, Proposition 66, Robert Rhodes. And she's like, oh, my God, your name's in here.
What did you do?
And you guys bring this up this morning. I thought, well, my name's famous for a different reason.
Yeah, nobody wants to have a serial killer name. I mean, that's awful. I mean, you just better hope it doesn't get more publicity. I mean, imagine if you're like a Richard Ramirez or somebody like that, it could be even worse. But at least Robert Rhodes is not on everybody's lips yet, right?
Yeah, well, the guy's 15 years older than me, and he's on death row, so it's not like he's out and people are worried about him moving into their neighborhood or anything like that. I mean, I think he's in the news right now because it's about whether they should kill him or leave him on death row. And
I gotcha.
And I knew about it before because somebody brought it up to me years ago because they said they Googled my name and this whole story came up about the girl that was raped or something like that. I'm like, oh, my God. And then I haven't heard it in a long time, and then I heard it yesterday twice.
Yeah, no good. All right, man. Say hi to Jeffrey Dahmer and Charles Manson for us. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Jimmy Page. He's back on the line. Line 1. Jimmy Page.
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll indeed, my friend. Now, how old are you, Jimmy?
I'm 52.
Okay, so that's pre-Led Zeppelin? So your parents had no idea? It's not like you were being named after the dude, right?
No, my dad's name was James, so I'm James. So My ID is say James, and then if I introduce myself, I usually say Jim, and people figure it out. And
people figure it out.
Rock and roll, yeah.
But you were weren't you about the right age, though, when Led Zeppelin,
yeah,
you know, ruled the world? You were Jimmy Page, and he was Jimmy Page, and that must have been great for you.
Yeah, when I was about 10, I think I remember my first person said, oh, you know, you're same name as famous rock and roller, and I'm like, oh, okay, I was 10 years old, so I was just kind of getting into music, and but of course, started listening to it and fell in love with the band. So, it was interesting growing up. Everyone always wants to talk about it, like, oh,
of course,
and they try to be sly. Oh, do you know you're famous rock and roller, right? And they kind of be sly.
like yeah. Ali said, it must be so exhausting having to fake laugh several times a day, as if every person is the first person to say it.
Exactly. It's a lot of times you're not in the mood. So you try to, you maybe say, I'll say James or Jim, and hopefully if they ask your name, hopefully they bring it up. And
gotcha.
Sometimes it's okay. But
thank you for the call, sir. Glad you called back. Let's do one more. Let's say hi to Tony Romo. He's in Pomona right now. He's having a little bit of a
Tony.
Tough go of it right now. It's got to be tough being Tony Romo when he can't even play, right, dude?
Yeah, that's the worst part about it. And when he's having a losing season, I get blamed for all of the Cowboys' problems.
Yeah. Yeah, that's tough. Do you is there ever a time that it works to your advantage? Does it ever help you in any way?
You know what? I've tried making dinner reservations or traveling to Dallas and booking a hotel. It hasn't really worked for me, but it's worked for my sister-in-law.
Oh, really? How
yeah,
so?
Let me ask her, because she's married to my brother, so they'll ask her, oh, any relation to Tony Romo? And she can say, yeah, that's my brother-in-law. Oh,
that's nice. Sweet.
So she's not lying.
That's
she's
right.
Not.
All right. Well done, Tony. I hope you one day get to play again. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Jim Rome in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And don't forget, Monday morning at 7:15, we, Kevin and Bean, will have all the details for you about the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016. Can't wait.
I have so many feelings.
Is that what that was?
Yes.
I know. It's a very exciting time of year for sure. Allie, your thoughts on Bruce Springsteen?
He's a national treasure.
Mm-hmm.
Don't own any of his albums.
What?
Just not into it, but understand how people go to his shows and then go to different cities to go to his shows. I get it. He's not so much for me.
Okay, understand. But at least you appreciate that he is a national treasure.
Absolutely.
And he is that. And no one does more for charity than Bruce Springsteen does. And he's in the news for an event that happened this past Tuesday night at the theater at Madison Square Garden. He was appearing along with Jon Stewart, Jerry Seinfeld, Louis C.K. They were raising money in something called the Stand Up for Heroes benefit, and the boss goes every year to help raise this money for these people. And in addition to doing an acoustic set and performing songs like Dancing in the Dark and Long Walk Home and a few others, he also tries his hand at comedy every year.
Oh.
And I love Bruce Springsteen. I've been to dozens of his concerts over the years, and I will tell you that it is rare for him to be funny.
Oh, no.
He does try. He's kind of the king of the dad joke a little bit. Like, he does the best he can, and it's kind of it's cute, but he doesn't really deliver the comedy.
Okay.
All right? For instance, here's one of the jokes that he told at the event on Tuesday night. An old man is in the gym. This great-looking gal comes in, a young gal. He says to his trainer, quick, 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 which one of these machines should I get on to get this girl's attention? And he goes, well, if I were you, it would be the ATM. Now, that's a nice try, right? It's fine.
Yeah.
But you're there with Jerry Seinfeld, and you're there with Louis C.K., and
right.
You're there with Jon Stewart. I feel like maybe this is your night to sing, Bruce, and maybe let the comedians tell the jokes.
A good effort.
Nice try.
Yeah.
It's not embarrassing. But maybe we would have been better off without that. Maybe do Glory Days instead, is what I'm saying. Well, we wanted to find out more about it. We have our friend Bruce Springsteen back on the phone here on the Kevin Meade Show. It's always a thrill to talk to the man, the legend himself, Mr. Springsteen. Welcome back to K-Rock, sir. How are you?
Hey, Kevin and Bean. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing fine. It's always good to talk to you. You have a nice time Tuesday night at that event at Madison Square Garden?
Great to talk to you, too. It's great to hear that Ali doesn't own any of my albums and... You don't think I'm funny. It's great to talk to you.
I didn't know you were on hold that whole time.
Real boost to the old self-confidence.
I know, but you're a great artist.
Well, I can tell you guys are big fans.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of talking to you.
Funny. No, you don't listen to the music. So, got it. Glad I called in. It's a good morning for me.
Right.
Delicious. Well, delicious breakfast.
let's try to move past that rocky start and kind of get into the conversation. So what about maybe let the professionals do the jokes? What about that?
I am a professional.
A professional musician, though.
Oh, these people love it when I do jokes. I got a crowd right here. Look. Hey, what did Delaware? A New Jersey.
Okay, but
thank you.
That's a courtesy laugh because you're Bruce Springsteen, so they want you to feel good.
Hey, I got to tell you, though, this Chris Christie, the governor of New Jersey, or as I like to call him, the cake boss.
Got a rim shot there, too?
He's really something, isn't he? I got to tell you, I mean, what do you call someone who dies because of a politically inspired traffic jam? A Corpus Christi.
He is killing in that room.
They love him.
Why is New Jersey called the Garden State? Well, because the oil, petroleum, nuclear, landfill, and toxic waste state didn't fit on the license plate.
Is that a joke? Is that really a joke, Bruce?
Why couldn't the baby Jesus be born in New Jersey? Because they couldn't find three wise men or a virgin.
Gotta be honest, it's working.
Speaking of Jersey girls... What does a Jersey girl do if she's not in bed by 10 p.m.? She goes home. How's a Jersey girl different from a bowling ball? Sometimes it's hard to pick up a bowling ball.
Okay.
Hey, where do fat cows go on vacation? Moo Jersey.
They finally turned on you.
Why don't Jersey girls play hide and seek? Because no one would look for them.
Oh, no.
I don't like this.
Bruce, you okay?
All right, that's it. That's it. All you people.
Oh! I'm cool, Bruce. No! What are you doing?
I'm the boss. No one not laughs at me.
Okay, noted.
Start laughing. Yeah, that's right. There you go. Oh.
Jim Rome talks sports coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show just after the top of the hour. And then DJ Omar Khan looks like he's headed for divorce court. At least that was my read on the conversation we had after the show yesterday.
Surprisingly, I think your read is way off.
Really?
I think it's just a little bit of tension in the household.
Really?
That's all.
Because usually I got my finger on the pulse of what's really happening.
You're really good at reading people usually, but in this case, you're off. You're off.
First, though, Ralph is here with another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday morning, Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, look, I want to remind everyone, forget Showbiz. What about sandwiches, right? Okay, then.
Yeah.
Today's National Sandwich Day.
Oh.
Is it now?
Yes. National Sandwich Day.
And what does that mean to me, the consumer?
It means eat up. Eat a sandwich. It's time to celebrate the sandwich. Okay?
All right. Everyone. I like sandwiches.
Eat
one. I ate grilled cheese sandwiches yesterday.
Eat one now.
Okay.
Also, by the way, Subway Restaurants is doing this great thing because it is National Sandwich Day. Subway is participating in the Good Deed Feed, which is if you buy any sub and drink at Subway, you'll get another sub of equal or lesser value for free. So just bring a friend. You buy a sub, they get the free sub. How cool is that?
I like it.
But there's a bonus.
Oh.
Once you do that, then Subway will donate a meal to one of my favorite charities, Feeding America. Feeding America is a great charity that helps benefit millions of the nation's hungry Americans. They call them food insecure people, which I think is just a much too polite way of saying these people who don't know where their next meal is coming from. But they have a network of over 200 food banks and 60,000 food pantries and meal programs across the country. They do great work. So go to Subway today, buy yourself a sandwich, get a free sandwich, and then also they will donate a meal to Feeding America, which is a great charity. So all that.
I just wish my brothers were alive to see this.
Why, Dorothy? Why? What happened to
them?
They're
all dead now.
Oh. Were they hungry? Did they starve to death?
Oh, that's a good point.
They could have used the free sub. So go
yum. Give me some of that.
Go to Subway today. The Cubs win! The Cubs win! Last night, of course, the Chicago Cubs had a historic win at the 2016 World Series, where they are the champs for the first time in 108 years. A lot of famous Cubs fans were there in attendance. John Cusack was there. Bill Murray was everywhere. It was just great. But I think everyone involved had to take a moment and say it would be a little bit sweeter if their beloved Harry Carey was there. Harry Carey, of course, was the legendary announcer for the Cubs for many, many years. He passed away in 1998. But he was a staple in Chicago sports culture and national culture, too. And I thought Fox, which, by the way, did a great job, I think, with the World Series this year, broadcasting it, they aired immediately after the Cubs' victory, they aired an old Budweiser commercial starring Harry himself. And if you missed it, here's the great Harry Carey.
The best seat in the house is right here, cheering on the Cubs with the greatest fans in the world and the greatest beer in the world, Budweiser. Yeah, nothing quenches a Cubs fan's thirst for victory quite like the King of Beer. Oh, here comes another one. Cubs fans, this bud's for you.
This bud's for you.
Very cool.
Harry Carey. It was very cool to see him and for them to show that commercial. So.
By the way, Ralph, I'm glad you mentioned Fox because I thought they did an excellent job with the coverage as well. And I was really paying attention this series. I still don't know why there are so many people who are down on Joe Buck for his play-by-play. I thought he was excellent for this series.
Okay.
You disagree?
Oh, yeah.
Really? I thought he was really good. He brought some great stories. I thought he had the facts at his fingertips. He described the play beautifully.
You enjoyed it.
What was there not to like about
Joe
Buck's
fault? I'm glad you enjoyed it.
What do you disagree with on that assessment?
Gwen Stefani and Gavin Rossdale, of course, are a long-time divorcing couple. And it's interesting. She talks about the divorce, and she says how she was embarrassed by the fact that the marriage didn't work. And I guess that happens with a lot of people when their relationships fail. She said she didn't want to fail with her partner, considering her parents were celebrating their 50th anniversary around the time of their divorce. That made things extra difficult for her. But she calls her new boyfriend, Blake Shelton, an unexpected gift. And she said, sometimes you have to go through really bad, hard times to enjoy the good. And Gavin Rossdale's like, thanks a lot.
Ooh.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I wouldn't know how heavenly I have it now if I wasn't through hell with you, Gavin Rossdale.
Oy.
So that's kind of sad news.
I don't love that.
And does anybody really care about this spinoff of The Good Wife? You know, CBS has had a very successful show called The Good Wife. They're spinning off. There's a show called The Good Fight, which will star Christine Baranski as her role as Diane Lockhart. And she will be starring in that, playing a lawyer. And I don't know if there's any passion for that. Is there?
Wasn't
the whole hook of the first show? Is it like her this woman sort of rising out of the ashes of her failed marriage and sort of taking back her identity? Wasn't that the premise, really, of Good Wife? Did you watch Good Wife?
I did not, even an episode.
No. It was really good. I used to watch it.
Yeah, people loved it.
Yeah, there were a lot of people who loved it. I mean, if they fell in love with that Christine Baranski character, maybe they'll follow it over there, but I'm sure they'd rather just the show hadn't gone away.
Anyway, they just announced it will be called The Good Fight is the name of the spinoff. So if you're a fan of that old show, then you'll probably be a fan of this one. I don't know. And it looks promising, believe it or not, for an Oasis reunion. NME.com says an opening act has already been booked for an Oasis reunion tour. The tour could likely happen in 2017, according to this article. The band is called Ride, and the reason they've been contacted about the tour is because it features Andy Bell, who played bass in the last incarnation of Oasis, and he also played guitar in Liam's side project BDI. It's Andy's band. And they said they have been contacted to be the opening act in an Oasis reunion tour.
Wow.
Where it is that Liam and Noel have kissed and made up. Who knows how long that would last, though, right? They have to make it to 2017 in order to put this tour together.
Yeah, I would say go to the first Oasis reunion show because there may not be a second.
Liam has a solo album he's ready to put out, so he said he wants to do that first, and then sources are saying an Oasis tour could happen later next year.
Can you imagine the money they could make for touring the world?
Man.
I mean, it would be like the police tour. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, everybody would want to see that.
Today's celebrity birthdays, comedian Roseanne Barr, 64 years old today. Comedian Dennis Miller, 63. Tim McElrath from Rise Against, he is 38. Niners quarterback Colin Kaepernick is 29. And Kendall Jenner, the model of the Kardashian clan, is 21 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Quite simply, it's the best part of the whole week on the Kevin Bean Show when our friend Jim Rome steps in. At Jim Rome on Twitter. JimRome.com is the website. You can listen to the show from 9 till noon, streaming live weekdays. And, of course, Jim Rome Daily Jungle podcast is available through the website or play.it and iTunes. Mr. Rome, welcome, sir. How are you?
Don't you mean it's the worst part of the week? Why do we have to do this? Why does this guy keep showing up? Is it Thursday already? What's up? Hey, guys.
Hi, Jim.
Early numbers, Jim, are almost 40 million people watched last night as the Cubs finally broke the curse after 108 years. Here's how the game ended, called by Fox TV's Joe Buck.
Here's the 0-1. This is going to be a tough play. Bryant, the Cubs win the World Series!
It was a roller coaster of emotions during that 10 innings with the rain delay and the lead changes back and forth. What was your night like, Jim?
I would say, Bean, that was an amazing game. Given what the Cubs had to overcome, the comeback, the rain delay, the history, the fact that they were down 3-1, that was probably the greatest Game 7 ever. But what I can't figure out is I'm watching this game in Southern California. I do not have a dog in the fight. I don't care who wins or loses ever, so why am I so uptight? Why am I freaking out? Why am I freaking out? It was because it was that good. It was that intense. It was awesome. It was truly an awesome night.
I felt like I had to puke numerous times throughout the game. I did a little bit.
Don't you always feel better after you puke?
Oh, amen. It's true, Jim.
Right? Just get right back in that fight, Allie. Get right back in the fight. Let it all go. But it's true, though. I mean, everybody, for a lot of people that didn't really seem to care who was going to win or lose, all of a sudden everybody did care. It was an awesome ride.
Well, it was so tense because you knew what it meant to each franchise. The fact that it wasn't just the Cubs trying to break their curse, but it was also the Indians trying to win for the first time in 70 years. There was a part of me that would have been happy whoever won because the burden would have been lifted off of that one team. And so devastating for the other team. I mean, there was no way that everybody could go home happy. And I think that's what made it so stressful.
Yeah, no, I think that I could sit here and say there are no losers, but of course that's not true. If you're the Indians and you've been waiting decades and decades and decades, and it was right there. I mean, you're up 3-1. And even last night, when they fell behind, I thought they showed a lot of heart and a lot of grit in that they didn't roll over when they could have. And then they get that late home run. It's like, damn, they're really going to pull it off. But then the rain came, and that's the key, because the rain normally is a bad thing, but for the Cubs, it wasn't. Their GM, Jed Hoyer, said it best. He called it divine intervention because that's what they needed. They had to settle the hell down. They had to reset their they hit the reset button. They had to regroup. And the rain was the best thing that could have happened to the Cubs and the worst thing that could have happened to the Indians.
I took some heat from our colleague Ralph Garman on the show here today, Jim, because when the rain started, I had no idea how long the rain delay was going to be. It could have been an hour. It could have been 3 hours for all it was. So I decided that I would go to bed and then just get up early this morning to watch the rest of the game. Does that make me a terrible sports fan?
Makes you a horrible human being, Bean. What are you thinking, man? What are you doing? No, but you don't know. I mean, I think everybody was thinking, all right, so what do we do now during the rain delay? My thing, honestly, was I'm watching that whole thing. I'm doing my prep. I'm getting ready for you guys, but I skipped my cardio. I almost went to the basement to knock out a workout because I knew it was going to be a long rain delay, but then they came right back to it. But the people who best used it were the Cubs, who went into the weight room and they looked at each other like, hey, man, we got this. We can still do this. We've had this heart all year long. And then, of course, it brings us to the last point. Now that the curse is finally dead, all those 180-year-olds rocking their oxygen tanks who said that if the Cubbies could just pull this off, they could all die happily. They can all now lie down and take the most peaceful of all dirt naps because they did it. Shit. They did it. They're finally world champions. They're going to sleep so well.
So you feel that everyone over 100 in Chicago is just going to up and die this week?
I didn't say that. I just said that when it is time, they can all peacefully nap it out in the dirt.
So
I didn't say it was time to die.
Right.
I said when it is time to die, they will sleep well.
Understood. Allie, I want to ask you this and get Jim's take on it, like because you've been through what the Cubs fans are going through today, realizing it's a new world and everything. The rock that they believed in their whole lives, which was that their team was a lovable loser, now that's blown up.
Right.
What's it like for Cubs fans going forward now? How is the experience going to be of rooting for a baseball team again?
Here's the thing with my family, typical Boston sports fans. Literally during the game, my father was like, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I'm like, Dad, this, are you kidding me? 2004 against the Cardinals. I'm like, this is over. It's done. Whatever. We are literally watching the parade a few days later, and his exact words, they're going to break your hat again. Don't get used to this. Like, it's just this constant negativity. Like, and I'm sure there are Cubs fans that are like, well, this is it. We'll never win again. So let's just enjoy this one.
Not these guys. I think Pops is right. Like, on the one hand, they may break your hat again.
Yeah.
But the thing that's going to change, and as a Red Sox fan, you know this, Allie, it's one thing to be a lovable loser because that's what you're known for and that's what your brand is. And anytime something bad goes or something bad happens, the take is, oh, poor Cubbies.
Yeah.
Now the hate comes. Everything changed.
Absolutely.
The script flipped it. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be all different. They're no longer that team. Now they've got the money. Now they've got all the hate. Look at the Golden State Warriors. I mean, they were the team that everybody loved. They win the championship. They get Kevin Durant, and now they're public enemy number one. So get ready for the hate, Cubs fans.
Yeah,
it was great to be
really
a lovable loser, but it all changed.
But I think they need to remember, just stay really humble, like Red Sox fans.
That's not going to happen. Oh, yeah, exactly like Red Sox fans. Exactly like Red Sox fans. And Patriot fans.
Hey.
Yeah,
Jim,
so
I'm glad you actually brought up the Golden State Warriors because I wanted to pivot. This season is, what, a week old for the NBA right now. What are your early takes on the Lakers, who I think have been surprisingly better than we thought they were going to be, and the Clippers, who some people say aren't playing up to their potential? What say you?
Well, let's talk Clippers quickly, or Lakers, I should say. Two wins in their first five games, which is probably two wins more than most people thought they'd have. Last night, a really nice win. Came from 11 down in the second half to beat Atlanta. Reports where they were all fired up in the locker room. They should be. 2-3 never looked so good. Clippers get off to a good start. They win three in a row, but then they get beat by OKC while everybody watched Game 7. Hopefully you didn't see the Clippers, because that's the kind of game they have to win if they're going to be the team that they keep telling us they're going to be. You can't lose those games. So to me, 2-3 feels a hell of a lot better for the Lakers than 3-1 does for the Clippers. Isn't that so, Sanchez?
I'm sure he's nodding his head right now.
Shut
in the
it.
Producer's office.
Where's Sanchez?
He's in the other room.
Where he belongs.
There are so many games in the NBA season, though, that you can't really draw a lot of conclusions on just five. But at least it maybe is an early indication of what we have to look forward to. Right?
You know, you're right. Exactly. The Lakers, there's going to be a lot of losing still ahead. There's going to be some bumps in the road. But seeing what we're seeing so far and the way they're going about it, you got to be pumped about everything Luke Walton's doing. And for the Clippers, I wouldn't panic. It were just past Halloween and they lose a 2-point game. But if I'm the Clippers, 4-0 feels a hell of a lot better than 3-1, because that's the kind of game they have to win.
We're talking to our friend Jim Rome live on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock from the Jim Rome Show, 9 till noon. All right, in our final minute, true or false, you were not allowed to say the word dildo on your sports talk radio show yesterday.
Mostly true. Mostly true. I don't know if you guys saw this or not really quickly, but, and Allie, I know you love this, when your guy Tommy and his team went into Buffalo and they punked the Bills again. Yep. Pretty awesome. I bet you found it decidedly unawesome, though, when that one Bills fan chucked that dildo on the field as Brady and the fellas were about to punch it in again.
I was very triggered.
Right? So, Bean, what I did was I checked with the suits, and I'm like, can I use that word? They're like, we'd rather you didn't. So I'm going and talking about a plastic donga, a sex toy. And I'm saying everything but the thing. And then I finally said, screw it. I'm going to get one dildo blast off. And Whoa. It felt so good that I did it again. And then right there on TalkBack, the suit from New York is like, don't do that again. Don't say that again. That's enough, Jim.
That Come is on. Something else.
Dildo.
This, as many times as you
Keep
want.
Keep going, Jim.
This
Get
fan,
it out.
By the way, this fan, by the way, wore two pairs of pants that day to the stadium and sneaked to the dildo into the stadium and was not caught. Nobody pointed him out when they started looking for the guy who threw it from the stands, and he got away with it and just is having the last laugh because it is one of the most bizarre things that's ever happened during an NFL game, I think.
Yeah, and the best thing to happen to Buffalo in a long time. Pretty hard to talk about it without saying what it is, and it was a dildo.
Ladies and gentlemen, the great Jim Rome.
Come
Jim
on,
Rome Daily
man.
Jungle is the podcast available at play.it and iTunes. You can stream the show live from 9 till noon once again today and every weekday at jimrome.com on Twitter at Jim Rome. Have a great week, sir. We'll do it again next time.
Don't be a dildo. See ya. Out.
I liked Omar's wife, and I thought they were a great couple, and it's sad for me because
she's still alive.
They're divorcing.
They're not divorcing.
It's the end times.
It's not the end.
You know what? We've had seven years, and you know it's been a good run, but I think it's the big D.
7 year itch.
DJ Omar Khan.
I'm not giving her the big D. That's the problem.
Maybe
she should stick around.
Maybe so.
DJ Omar Khan, who, by the way, is available for holiday parties if you'd like to go to DJOmarKhan.com and hire him.
And for reasonably priced drugs.
Yes.
Because he now has a lot of free time now that he no longer has a family.
Absolutely.
He's one of these guys who married like his childhood sweetheart, and they've been together, you know, their whole lives. Mm-hmm. And now they're being broken up over her love for organic produce. Now, I know that sounds like a surprising reason for a couple to break up. But Omar, what's going on and how can we help?
Listen, I didn't sign up for this. And
I heard the other day bitching about the fact that your wife, Cassie, is buying organic foods.
Right.
I don't understand the downside for you.
Do it. That's cool. But don't involve me. Don't make me. Don't try to make me go out of my way to shop at Sprouts and take more time into shopping. Like I don't enjoy shopping. I want to get in and get the produce because I do the grocery shopping in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And I do it before I pick up my daughter, and I have about a half hour window. So I'm in and out.
Okay.
And she wants me to drive out 20 minutes to drive to Sprouts and get all organic BS. And now I'm shampooing my hair with hemp shampoo.
It looks lovely, by the way. Your hair looks great. So whatever you're using, it's working.
It looks the same. And I just – and she's bringing – she goes to Costco and she brings these crackers that taste like ass. And she's all like, oh, there's no GMO. There's no gluten. You know what? Because there's no goodness in it.
Wow. Omar, you're upset about health.
She's trying to save your life.
Listen.
To feed your family healthy food.
But it tastes like ass. I want food that tastes good. And you know what? You know what, Michael?
But you know, you have to strike a balance, Omar. You can't just eat, you know, candy corn all day long. You got to have some good stuff too.
Listen, we eat healthy enough, okay? But I don't want to. I don't want to eat everything that's healthy and tastes bad. I want a balance. She's going a little overboard, and pretty soon she's going to start growing her armpit hair out and doing all that. And I didn't sign up for this.
I don't think there's any danger.
And by the way, the weirdest thing that happened, and this is when I started noticing, is that a couple of months ago, the carrots at our house are purple.
Sure, she buys purple carrots. Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah, and I was like, "What the heck is this?" And she's just like, "Well, there's no GMOs, and you know, it's all organic." And I was just like, can I just get some orange carrots, some regular carrots?
Well, what difference does it make what color your carrot is?
Because it looks bizarre. It's just weird. And I don't know. I didn't eat it. So,
My God, you're a child. You're raising three children.
I bought me some orange carrots. You know what?
You showed
you
her.
You feel better?
I did. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Why don't you just paint the purple carrots orange and then, you know.
And I went shopping yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And
have you ever seen Omar as worked up about anything? As long as you've known
him. Not since Rachel Ray showed up in his box of Wheat Thins. No.
So I went grocery shopping yesterday, and I never really look at the prices. You know, I just buy what my wife tells me to buy.
Another good practice, okay? By the way.
And so... the eggs she wants me to buy are the brown omega-3 organic eggs, okay?
Right. Free range.
Whatever.
Yes.
$5.99, okay? The regular eggs are like $3.99, so that's $2 more. The cheese that now she wants me to buy, I love the Kraft cheese. My grilled cheese with the Kraft cheese. Okay?
That's not even cheese. You can barely even call it cheese.
I love that cheese. And she's like, oh, no, it's processed, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, well, they got to process it somehow. She wants me to buy this Tillamook stuff. It's twice.
Oh, Tillamook's so good.
Is it?
Yeah.
No, it's twice as much.
The Kerrygold, too.
It's so expensive.
What is happening with you?
I love me some Velveeta.
Listen, you know, there's some organic and natural foods and stuff that can be a bit of a stretch, but when it comes to food, meats, what the animals are fed and how they're raised, the processing, milk, absolutely, whether there's hormones or not. I mean, this is serious stuff, especially for your kids. I mean, these are real things you have to
young
consider.
Kids,
I bet your kids drink a ton of milk, right?
I don't know.
if you're not getting the organic milk, like the Horizon organic milk, they're getting hormones
that's
things.
That's what she has me buy, the Horizon stuff.
And stuff that you don't want
and
your
kids
to get.
She drinks the bogus, like, hippie almond milk, which I don't want any part of.
The almond milk is awesome.
This is so nasta.
It's not nasta, first of all, because
nasta.
Nothing is nasta.
I'm telling you.
That's not even a word.
It is. It's gross.
But like almond and coconut milk mixed together, that's delicious.
That's puke city.
It's not.
Just
it's not
give me
nasta.
The regular stuff. And then she wanted me to start buying the something called Kashi cereal for my kids.
Kashi,
Kashi?
Yeah, it's like
I'm not familiar with that.
Whole grain it tastes cereal like dirt. Mix. It's whole grain dirt.
It's not
what
dirt.
It is. It's dirt and milk mixed up in one. And I was like, no, I don't want to take that away from my children. Getting up and eating some Lucky Charms, or Trix,
or
Cocoa Puffs.
No, you don't feed them the bowl full of sugar. That's not good for kids.
I turned out okay. We all
really
we
did you? Well, did you, Omar?
Listen,
really?
Is this conversation proof?
Take a long, hard look at yourself, and you tell us how you turned out. Don't make us play Cuckoo Monkey Heat.
Omar, I think it's time for, and I am sorry to suggest this, I think it's time for separate refrigerators at home. I think it's time for your food and their food.
It's Bean's answer.
Get the secret fridge.
The little chocolate milk fridge.
Right. That's the answer. Bean has all the answers.
Look, how do you think I stayed there for so long?
Oh, crap. I'm on Team Bean.
Yeah.
I got problems.
Good luck with that. Frequent Kevin and Bean emailer Daryl writes in, organic schmorganic. I ate all that crap growing up. This is a media-created bull-s storm, says Daryl. So he's not buying it, what Omar's wife is putting down.
Look, pesticides, hormones, these things are real. They're real.
Mm-hmm.
And to what degree they affect you, your health, I guess maybe that could be debated. But not having them is certainly better than having those elements in your food.
Well, as long as you're fine with Omar and his wife breaking up, then that's fine.
I am.
Hey, it's been a surprise to me that the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices is back, because I got to be honest, I thought Ralph had killed it. I thought
he
had driven a stick through its heart.
Well, because it was supposed to be. Didn't we have like a scientific survey or something?
Yeah.
We have like a whole thing?
I thought was the deciding factor.
Right. Now somehow it's come back from the grave like Freddy Krueger at the end of a Nightmare on Elm Street movie.
We used to do it all the time years and years and years ago. And then Ralph, if I remember correctly, you refused to do it anywhere.
No, we did a scientific survey. And the callers called in and they said, get rid of it. And there was much rejoicing.
For some reason, earlier this fall, a listener called up and said, hey, hasn't it been long enough to try it again? And you must have been feeling charitable that day because you agreed to it.
Once!
And you did it.
I said, okay, we'll do it one more time.
And the nation did rejoice, and the listeners were excited, and that's why it is back, ladies and gentlemen. The Wheel of Bad Animal Voices is back on the Kevin and Bean Show now and forever. It's like cats.
No!
And it is.
It's like cats.
It's not like cats, first of all. Nice reference. And it's very, it may be back, maybe not. Let's see how it goes.
I hear you say that, but when Allie tells you what's on the wheel today, I think you're going to change your mind, because you see how many fantastic and wonderful possibilities there are when we spin it of who we're going to be able to talk to. Allie, who's up on the wheel this morning?
All right. First up, Duke. The dog that was reelected as mayor in a Minnesota town.
Boom.
The
now,
dog
already
is
I'm
the
in.
Mayor.
Yeah, I wonder
Come
how that
on,
would turn
Ralph.
Out if we called the mayor's office. I wonder who we'd get on the phone.
I think we'd get
what that conversation would be like.
Don't you want to hear that? Aren't you interested in how Duke is running the town? I am.
I couldn't be less interested than Duke, the mayor dog.
Can I interest you in a British slug that started smoking real cigarettes, Ralph? It's a slug, and he's all smoking.
We understand what slugs are and what smoking
all
is,
right.
Allie.
Okay. Well, if that didn't grab you, you aren't alive with this. The human-faced pig with the penis on his forehead. It's not human-faced pig. But
I'm laughing already.
Where do you go from there once you start into that story? Hey, that's you sure not... do have a penis on your head, huh, Mr. Pig?
But that's not our
oink, oink. Look at my human face. It really, is that what you want? Is that the bit you need?
A little bit.
That's not our problem. That's the pig's problem.
Oh, my God.
All right. Well, this gets dark. What about Mia, the dog that tried to murder her owner with a knife?
Oh, wow.
Mia.
That might be a riveting interview.
Wow.
I like it.
Stanley, the cell phone stealing raccoon. He stole and just ran. Oh, Stanley. What was his motivation?
I hope you people are happy with yourselves.
All right.
I'm
and
delighted.
Finally,
you have to live with this.
The high-fiving octopus.
So wow, he has so many options on
so
how to high five.
So many arms, Ralph.
Oh, my God.
That's a high eight. I love that story. Are you
awful.
Kidding me?
This is awful.
All right, Ralph is in, Allie's in,
I'm in.
Let's spin the wheel. Oh, bad animal voices.
It's time for the wheel of bad animal voices. Where do you think it's going to land?
All right, Allie, this must be very exciting for you as a longtime listener of the program to be able to spin the wheel for the first time.
It's like Christmas, my birthday, everything rolled into one. This is amazing.
All right, be careful. Give it a good spin, and then we'll call whichever story it lands on the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
All right,
here we go.
Here we go.
Good spin.
The British slug that started smoking!
All right, here's the story from Britain. A slug has been found having an early morning cigarette. The slimy, garden-munching creature was spotted on Friday in Walthamstow, London. The area is a hipster paradise, and some have suggested it's not that surprising. There's a person on Twitter named Karen Staunton. She snapped the photo where the slug appeared to be halfway through its cigarette. It is not known what brand of cigarette the gastropod mollusk was enjoying.
It's so good already.
Her tweet was, just walked past a slug with a cigarette in its mouth in Walthamstow, says Karen. We asked producer Dave in the last 15 seconds, could he please get us somebody on the line to talk to about this story? And now we go to Walthamstow in London. Hello there. Hello, is there someone there?
Hello.
Hi, is this this doesn't sound like Karen. Who's on the line, please?
You are a slug.
Oh, you're the slug
who's
smoking. How about that? Well, it's nice to talk to you.
Nice
to talk to us too. Okay. Okay. We can move past.
Be able to
talk to us. Be on the air with Kevin.
Finally.
Have a conversation with America.
Use my cell phone.
Oh, all right. I didn't see that coming.
Uh-uh.
So you are the slug in the photograph who was seen smoking?
I am.
What?
Nope. The
slug.
Slug.
Seen in the photograph smoking.
Seen the photograph
in that
smoking.
Photograph.
Okay. Okay. Is there any way we could speed it up?
I'm a slug. I can't speed it up.
Okay.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you did right there. Don't start over.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Be careful.
Oh.
Hello?
Looks like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking.
8:54, Thursday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman is here. It's time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Thursday. Good morning, Ralph.
You choking on something? You okay?
I think I have a little chocolate milk stuck in my throat.
Oh, it sounds like 8:54.
Something.
I didn't know you guys could tell.
So anyway, we're coming up the showbiz beat.
I needed to swallow.
I needed to swallow. Yes. Come on.
The song ended.
Oh, I see. Well, it sounded
so I was,
gross.
Okay, I'm back.
That's not chocolate funny. Milk. The Cubs win the World Series. And, of course, celebrities react. You forget how many celebrities come from the Chicago area until you see John Cusack talking about the win. And Vince Vaughn. And Bob Newhart, by the way,
yes.
lost his mind.
Yeah.
Nice to see him. Because I think
so cute.
The last time the Cubs won, Bob Newhart was like 25 years old. And so
not true.
Now
he's not that old.
He can finally, as Jim Rome so eloquently put it, take the long dirt nap and go peacefully. But of course, when you think Cubs, who do you think of?
Bill Murray, right?
Bill Murray. Nobody was happier than Bill Murray last night.
He has been the face of the franchise throughout these playoffs this year.
The man who has given us so much joy and happiness got so much in return last night. They had the camera on him when they got that final out, and he was on the field. He was blasting the horn of the Chevy that was the gift for the MVP of the series. He was in the locker room drinking champagne and spraying it on the team. He is the unofficial mascot of the Cubs, and I thought it was very wise of Fox last night to give him a microphone, allow him to go in there and interview some of the Cubs. He talked to their esteemed leader, Theo Epstein, the guy who kind of put that team all together, talked to Jason Hayward. Also, here he is talking to Dexter Fowler.
Bill, we do it for fans like you. We do it for fans like you. Y'all been fans for all your lives.
My whole life.
Your whole life.
I've been a Cubs fan longer than you've been growing that beard, Dex. Longer than you've been growing that beard.
That's awesome.
It's coming
a long
in.
Time.
It looks fantastic.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Because it's built for a 2016 champions.
All right. I'm letting my beard grow from now on. I want to look more and more like you every day.
I want to look like you when I grow up.
I think Bill was a little loaded, quite frankly.
He was very
going
loaded.
Around, it's like, you need some financial advice, and I'm here for you. And he was like talking to players, just like giving them random tips and stuff. And
his interview with Theo, it was very emotional. He was speaking for so many Cubs fans because he was like, "You guys did this for my grandparents,
right?
And for my
parents, mom and dad, and
my brothers
and sister."
Yeah, I mean, it was really. I mean, it really. That was a meaningful thing for people who've grown up their whole lives waiting for that moment that happened last night.
Well, congratulations to all our Chicago Cubs fan listeners out there.
Where was Tom Morello, by the way? Did you see him at any of those games?
No.
I was very, very surprised by that. He's a very outspoken, longtime Cubs fan, too.
Yes, he was there, and he carried a picture of his grandma with him.
Oh, that's nice.
Did he get the stamp of Billy Corgan approval?
I don't think he's a big enough fan for Billy Corgan.
I know there's a very very strict policy of being approved by Billy. You have to get through the gauntlet of fandom before you get
You have to be seen there in June in order to be a real Cubs fan.
Yeah, it's crazy. You guys know Pentonix? The a cappella group Pentatonix.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They are inexplicably popular.
They're everywhere.
They really are.
They are everywhere.
Yeah.
And they're nice, and they do a pretty good job of singing without music.
Right.
But it's not new. That's not a new talent.
Everywhere.
I know. Well, you'll be happy to know they're getting their own holiday special.
Of course they are.
Well, they do have a Christmas album out that I
have. Oh, sweet Jesus.
Their
God
second
damn
Christmas
it.
Album came
God
out last week.
Damn
so.
It.
You know I can't say no to Christmas music. You know
why?
That, Ralph.
Why?
Because I can't. Because it's my thing that I love.
He's an addict.
Anyway, yeah, really. NBC is doing a Pentatonix Christmas special on December 14th. And the special guest will include Reba McEntire and Kelly Clarkson. Oh, I can't wait. This is going to be awesome.
I do love Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, I do too.
You too?
She's great.
God damn it, Kevin. Come
She's
back to work.
Great.
I'm alone on this island.
And Allie, if I remember correctly, mm-hmm. isn't Reba McEntire Kelly Clarkson's mother-in-law?
She is indeed. She married Reba's son. Yeah.
Just gets better. These facts just keep getting better. Just, oh. Let me give something away here to make all of this worthwhile. Everything
all
you just heard.
People.
No, we're not all just people. Some of us are people. Others are not people. Let me give you something to make what you just listened to worth suffering through. I've got
Why
tickets.
Why did some people tune out?
Tickets to the red carpet premiere of Arrival.
Yay!
How awesome does this movie look?
You've got
Amy Adams, you've got Jeremy Renner, you've got Forrest Whitaker. Great cast. The aliens come to Earth, and they need someone to be able to translate their messages to find out why they're here. Amy Adams is that cunning linguist. The premiere is Sunday in Westwood. You'll get to go. I think you want to go, don't you? Give us a call right now. 1-800-520-1067. First five callers to get through with that phone number. You get a pair of passes to see the red carpet premiere this Sunday of Arrival. I think it's at like 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. 100% fresh.
Yeah, nothing bad about it.
That's crazy. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Roseanne Barr is 64 years old today. What is she doing? She's still raising nuts? She's still in the nut business?
I don't know if she stuck with that or not.
She was growing pot for a while, I think.
Right.
And then she moved on to macadamia nuts. Dennis Miller is 63. Tim McElrath from Rise Against, the singer for that band, is 38. Colin Kaepernick is 29 years old. Model Kendall Jenner turns 21. And Adam Ant. We've been neglecting Adam Ant all morning long. Adam Ant. Adam Ant. Must be something inside. He is 62 years old today. Wow. It's amazing. That is, he can still stand and deliver a song on stage just like artists much, much younger. No one else is playing this game? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Usually on Thursdays, you're just thinking about the weekend, but I want to ask you to think about Monday morning at 7:15, because right here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we'll be rolling out all the details you need to know to be part of K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016. Mark it. That's this Monday morning coming up at 7:15 right here on the world-famous K-Rock. It's 9:21. Hey, it's Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday morning. Time for one more look at the showbiz beat. Live from Hollywood, here's Ralph Garman.
First of all, I'm not in Hollywood, and I'm just barely alive.
It's show business, man. Come on, dress it up.
National Sandwich Day. How do I dress it up with that? It's National Sandwich Day.
Yeah.
Allie, is there any better food than a sandwich? Really?
Sandwiches are pretty great.
It's the best food. It's everything. You got your veggies, your meats, your grains, all in one delicious handheld package.
I have to tell you, Ralph, that since I moved to New Orleans, I have discovered a place.
That's not a sandwich you were holding.
It is.
Not at all.
It's a foot long.
I have to tell you, since I moved to New Orleans, I have I've been frequenting a place called the Big Cheesy. And
see? Because it's a pun. That's why Bean goes there.
That was
the
part
Big
of it.
Easy
that
is
was
the
part
Big
of it.
Cheesy.
But they serve grilled cheese sandwiches. That's their thing. That's their grilled cheese sandwich restaurant. And I might not eat anything else for the rest of my life. Their grilled cheese sandwiches are so good. And they have like, and I'm not joking, they have like 50 different kinds of grilled cheese sandwiches that you can get on the menu. And it's astonishing. And I have fallen in love with sandwiches all over again as a result of the Big Cheeses. So
Were you off sandwiches for a while?
Yeah,
you had fallen out?
No, in general,
I got
divorced
from sandwiches, but now I'm back together with her.
I don't eat a lot of sandwiches. I used to be really big into peanut butter and jelly. I used to have that fairly frequently.
Holy
banana
crap.
Sandwiches.
Are you 8 years old? Grilled cheese and peanut butter and jelly.
What I'm saying is I had kind of gotten away from sandwiches, but now, thanks to the Big Cheesy, I'm so back in on sandwiches, and now I'm very excited to hear what you have for National Sandwich Day.
Sounds like a recipe for health, by the way. Just 50 different kinds of grilled cheeses every day for the rest of your life.
Well, I only eat there morning, noon, and night, so just three times a day is all.
Today is National Sandwich Day. I'm talking about Subway. Subway restaurants. They are having a very special event today. If you buy a sub, you get one of equal or lesser value for free. Bring a friend, treat them to lunch, you buy a sub, you get a free sub. But the real reason I wanted to bring this up is because they are partnered up in a charity called the Good Deed Feed, which means that if you buy a sub, they donate a meal to Feeding America, which is one of my favorite charities. Feeding America benefits millions of Americans who are what they call food insecure, which I think is just way too media speak for what's really going on. These are people who don't know where their next film meal is going to come from. They go to bed hungry. These are kids, families, some people in your own neighborhood. They have a network of over 200 food banks, 600,000 food pantries and meal programs across the United States. So this Thursday, today, if you buy a Subway sandwich, Subway will donate a meal to Feeding America, and I think it's worth doing. So,
if
you're going to grab
that whole deal,
how about that whole deal? If you're going to grab lunch, go to Subway today. Do something nice. Congratulations for the Cubs. They are the World Series champs. Pretty awesome.
I just
awesome.
Wish my brothers were alive to see this.
Oh, where are they, Dorothy?
They're all dead now.
Oh, I guess you mentioned that earlier when you said you wish they were alive. I should have just inferred what she was talking about.
I think she said she wishes they were here to see it.
No, I think she said we're here alive to see it. Oh. Can we hear Dorothy again?
I just wish my brothers were alive to see this.
Oh.
Yeah. I really didn't need the follow-up question because you kind of mentioned that they weren't alive.
They're all dead now.
Yeah, I understand
maybe,
that, Dorothy.
Maybe their soul,
I got it. No.
Their soul was dead,
No, I
Ralph?
Got it all. I got it all.
A little bit.
If you've ever seen Will Ferrell's very funny Harry Carey impression, you know who he is. He was, of course, the longtime announcer for the Cubs.
Wait, he's a real person? I thought that was a character
nope.
Will Ferrell made up.
It was Will doing his impression of the legendary Cubs announcer who passed away in 1998, but has become a staple and a fixture of Chicago sports, regardless of the fact that he is no longer with us, so much so that he showed up on Jimmy Kimmel when Will came by and did
so
his
good.
Harry Carey. So funny. And it was nice of Fox last night to pay a little tip of the cap to Harry Carey. They played a Budweiser commercial after the Cubs won the World Series, but they reached back and played an old classic featuring Harry himself. Here's what they played.
The best seat in the house is right here, cheering on the Cubs with the greatest fans in the world and the greatest beer in the world, Budweiser. Yeah, nothing quenches a Cub fan's thirst for victory quite like the King of Beer. Oh, yeah! Here comes another one! Cub fans, this bud's for you!
Cub fans, this bud's for you!
The best.
It's great. You know, with the Indians being in the World Series, we started to see a lot of clips of the movies, the Major League movies mm-hmm. on TV this week. And I was reminded of the great Bob Uecker. Now, he is still with us, right, Bob Uecker?
I believe he
yeah.
is. Yeah.
The longtime announcer for the
Jazz, the bit outside.
Boys. That's right. That yeah.
Must be in the front show. Row.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he used to do those Miller Lite commercials
yeah.
back in the day.
Right.
We all know Dave Duchovny. We love him as an actor. X-Files, sure. of course. Aquarius. Return to Me. Is it Return to Me? What's the
that
one with
it?
Mini Driver where he gets, gets
yeah.
a wife's heart? That's a great film.
Yeah.
Anyway, did you know he's a very talented musician as well?
He is.
Did you? I guess
yeah.
you knew that, huh? I didn't know that so much.
Oh, yeah. It's all he really talks about.
Well,
now.
He's got a new album out called Hell or High Water. And I wanted to give people a heads up that tomorrow, tickets go on sale for his U.S. tour. He's been in Europe performing, but he is coming to do some shows beginning part of next year, and tickets go on sale tomorrow if you want to see Dave Duchovny perform his music live. He's doing a show down in San Diego to kick things off. That's the first date is February the 12th. Then at the Roxy here in Los Angeles on February 14th. Then San Francisco, Portland, Oregon, Seattle, Washington, Boston, Massachusetts. Goes on and on and on. You can go to DavidDuchovnyMusic.com for more details and to find out how you can buy tickets tomorrow.
Wait.
They go on sale. What?
I could spend Valentine's Day with David Duchovny?
No, you can go to his show at the Roxy
but
on Valentine's Day.
But it's on Valentine's Day.
Yes,
it would be like our date.
No, it won't be. You're not spending. Not at all.
He'd be like, Allie, this one's for you.
No,
and then
won't.
Sing
he
one
won't
of his tunes.
See you. He won't talk to you.
A little bit, though.
You'll be in a room packed with other people.
But he'll feel that I'm there.
And he will not feel that you're there.
Huh.
If you're not familiar with Dave's music, here's a little taste of a song off his new album. I think this is called Let It Rain. Tom Petty.
Yeah.
It's very
Let Tom
it rain, Petty. If you know what I'm saying.
Stop it. You're not doing anything with him. Let it go.
In her mind right now, Allie's going to be walking out of this room going, I have a date for Valentine's Day.
Oh, I can't believe it. This is the earliest I've ever had a date. Well, this is the only time I've ever had a date for Valentine's Day, and it's with Dave Duchovny. How exciting.
Why do you guys hate love?
It's not love that I hate. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars born on today, November 3rd. Roseanne Barr, 64. Dennis Miller, 63. Tim McElrath from Rise Against. He's the singer for that band. He is 38. Niners QB Colin Kaepernick is 29. Is he still playing for the Niners? Does he still have a job?
Occasionally.
Model Kendall Jenner is 21 years old. And legendary lead singer of the post-punk rock group, Adam and the Ants. Adam Ant himself celebrates his 62nd birthday today. Give me a little ant music. Goody, goody, two-shoes, goody, two, goody, two, goody, goody, two-shoes. That song doesn't make you shake your ass. You're dead.
Good stuff.
Right? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Thank you, Allie. Thank you, Chip. The Monkey will be back tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Show, by the way. But before we leave you, let me remind you, on your drive home today, you might want to listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour. It's a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Friday means the movie beat. We also have RJ Bell from Las Vegas from pregame.com giving us our picks for the weekend for the NFL. Also, Dave Navarro in studio with us on the show tomorrow. How about that?
Woo!
Right?
Yeah!
Woo!
Right.
And I'm fascinated that we're going to have a guest. We're going to have a guest on tomorrow.
We got it. We're good.
Okay. We're going to have a guest on tomorrow who is one of the officials whose job it is to make sure that no one steals the presidential election this year. You've heard so
much. It's rigged.
I hear it's a rigged system.
Rigged election.
You hear so much talk about how the election is going to be stolen, and how the Russians are going to somehow
figure out a way to
hack into our computer system and steal the election.
Rigger, please.
Nope.
I am just fascinated with how all of that works. So that'll be something else we'll be talking about tomorrow morning, right here for an all-new Kevin and Bean Show here on K-Rock.